Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and yes, Chibi Robo lives! Yes! And with me, I have...
We present our show with blackjack and hookers and guns and gay angel twinks, because why the fuck not?
One of these days I'll watch that. Unfortunately, I'm not subscribed to the Primes of Amazon at the moment.
Well, you can find it if you look hard enough on other areas of the internet. Yar, matey.
Yeah. That goes doubly so because that also means I'm not watching City the Animation either. And I'm told I'm missing out on peak comedy in that case.
Yeah, it is very good. Of course, I do pay for all that kind of stuff because, quite frankly, I'm too lazy and stupid to pirate.
Yeah, why the fuck does sailing the high seas have to take effort?
It's like learning how to use Linux. Sounds easy, then you have to figure everything out on the back end, and it just becomes so much more difficult than it needs to be.
Maybe someday we'll get, like, a fourth option. But anyway, this is episode 405, and just a quick note, you will notice that our usual co-host Mark is out. There's some serious business going on his end. We won't go into details, but he has the night off. It's for the best.
Yeah, it is.
Real life matters more than roasting Drake on the internet. That might be foreshadowing for later.
Yeah.
But, in the meantime, I suppose I should ask, how's your week going? Bleh. If I could talk.
Uh-oh.
How's your week been going? Those are words.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm not the only one who has problems saying simple words around here, but yeah, my week has been a very normal-ish week. Also a week where I've ended up coming home much more tired than expected. Like, it's those kind of days where you just go home and you're so drained and exhausted that you just don't want to do anything. Could be because it's been so fucking hot and humid outside as well, and I don't like that, but whatever. It will come to pass, as all rampant rounds of hot, humid shit does, or whatever. Can you tell I'm bad at improv? Yeah, it's just, it's the middle of August. There's not a lot going on. We're just killing time, waiting for people to die. Oh. You know who you are, fuckers. Die already.
Oh, if only. But anyway, as for me, well, the biggest highlight of my week was a new episode of The Amazing Digital Circus. And I see y'all got Mr. Oni NG to cameo. So that's the thing. Also, my girl Gangle got to fire a Tommy gun while laughing hysterically, and that's always fun. Also,
Oh, that's what y'all meant with the guns. I thought it was the other thing that happened in Panty and Stocking with the girl and with the gun, who's voiced by the voice of Bochy, and I'm not going to go into too much in detail on that because it's graphic.
See, this is why I probably need to get Amazon. But nah, yeah, that whole episode was just, Kane gives everyone's guns... Get into teams. The circus is a Call of Duty lobby now. Except with far less slurs. But aside from that, I did pick up some new games because I noticed, new to my collection because I noticed there was like sales and stuff going on. So for a combined 40-ish bucks, I have Death Stranding on PS5 and the Persona 3 remake. And also, I just found a decent deal on eBay. So I got Pikmin 1 and 2 on Switch because I think... I'm at about that point in my life where I need to become one of those people who plays Pikmin unironically. Unironic Pikmin players, as they're called. There's literally millions of them. And I will be joining you soon enough.
We have fun here.
Yes. Yes, we do. Also, that reminds me, I'm gonna be stuck at work when there's that direct tomorrow for that Kirby game. Ugh! Why can't you all do this at, like, 5 p.m.? Anyway, hey, yeah, not really much else on my end, so, it's about that time where we dive into the, usual business, starting, of course, with a new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes, mark calendars for new albums, all that fun stuff. So, starting right up at the top, once again, another new-ish band to throw into the rotation, because, again, we gotta mix things up every once in a while. Military Gun, a British, I believe, post-punk outfit who really broke through with their 2023 debut album, Life Under the Gun. And now they're set to release their follow-up on October 17th, titled God Save the Gun. I'm sensing a motif here. What could that be?
Perhaps.
But, yeah, so we have the lead-off single from this new album called Bad Idea, all caps and all spaced. You know, kind of like Vaporwave aesthetics, except this isn't, you know, Floral Shop. No, instead it's, starting off right away with this very, like, steady, energetic beat with, interestingly, the bass of all things being super upfront in the mix. Pretty solid bass tone, by the way. The drums are a pretty, you know, typical, you know, energetic, you know, amp you up type of a beat with some tom fills and spots. And the vocals kind of have, like, you know, that very gruff, British anthemic kind of melodic shouting. You know, the kind when you listen to a lot of that kind of UK punk stuff. Of course, spelling out the chorus for reasons. And, I mean, it's all right. It almost kind of feels very, like, poppy and sort of jock jammy in a way. Which does make sense because I read earlier somewhere that apparently this song was originally written for a hardcore album that Doja Cat was doing, which feels like an exceptionally cursed combination of words to throw at a song that's not bad. I mean, I've heard better from them, yeah. But it's all right.
Well, I thought it was a pretty good track, very short and to the point. And I do hope that this current trend of cheerleader chants in ironic fashion, like this song and Hot to Go, doesn't go the way of 2005, if you know, you know.
You just had to go there, didn't you?
I had to bring up something. It was either going to be that or, hey, Mickey, you're so fine, yada, yada, yada. That song's annoying.
I think I would have preferred the Mickey reference, to be honest. I don't know if that counts as a hot take, but it's a take. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, we have the second official single from the upcoming sophomore album by the band Fleshwater. As a reminder, their second full-length effort, 2000 In Search of the Endless Sky, dropped September 5th. This new single is called Last Escape, which, interestingly, starts off with this kind of drum and bass sort of thing. Like, yes, you have very fast chords strumming, but the drums are kind of like doing that synthetic sort of, kind of drum and bass, but also more breakbeat. I say interesting because once it gets into the full swing of things with the full band, the drums are honestly still kind of hitting like that rhythm pretty much all throughout. Kind of makes sense considering that this is an offshoot of the band Vane, which also had a lot of synthetic electronic ideas in their songwriting. But, you know, it's got a pretty solid sense of driving energy throughout. The guitars have a really nice tone, alternating a lot between, like, cleans, overdrive, echo, and plenty of fuzz. Pretty good vocal dynamic here with, you know, the lead singer and the guitarist trading, you know, verses and choruses respectively. Especially the chorus vocals. I just really like a lot of the fuzzed out effects on there. So, yeah, this is also a pretty good song, just like the previous single.
Yeah. Now, other people would comment on the music first, but me, I see a baby Lugia sticker on a Boss ES8 pedal, and that's what I hone in on immediately. I see you. I see what you're doing, and I like it. And to that point, can we get more music videos shot inside dead malls? I mean, it's not like the malls are using all that retail space anyway, since, you know, they're dead and all, and I think they'd rather prefer, you know, some kind of income instead of people like Dan Bell and rogue people breaking into malls to film everything inside. Anyway, yeah, I really like this. I will definitely check out the album next month. This is up my alley. Or I should say up my... I was going to do something up my dead mall aisleway, whatever, but you know, I realized that was stupid, so let's just move on.
You know, there's an idea. Because they did actually close out the Macy's in the mall by the house. I gotta get the band up here for that. So
get permits. Otherwise you'll get kicked out and arrested.
Oh, fuck right. You gotta sign paperwork. Eh, I guess the alternative is much worse. But let's move on to the next track here. So it looks like we have a new single here that features musical contributions by Madlib, this being the first musical material that he's put out since the unfortunate tragedy of losing pretty much all of his possessions and his home in the recent spate of California wildfires. Obviously still very sad, but at least it's good to know that he's not, you know, completely down and out and still on his feet and all. So, the track here is part of a project called Droogie Otis, which I believe we might have mentioned before, but as a reminder, is him on production and bars from Your Old Droog. The single's called The Edge. It's from an album that allegedly is coming out in October, and this one even features guest vocals from Killer Mike, who has been having a very odd 2020s now that I think about it. But anyway, I mean, it pretty much sounds exactly as you would imagine. Like, production-wise, it's got that kind of, you know, typical Madlib production style. You know, it's very suave and slick. A lot of it is built around, like, this really cool saxophone sample. And, hell, the song even outros on a pretty sweet set of guitar solos. Hell yeah. Always down for guitars. And, yeah, it's just kind of a lot of, you know, just saying cool stuff that sounds pretty cool coming from their voices. Especially Killer Mike's, you know, bars, which are mainly a lot of, you know, hanging around strippers and making that money. Specifically, a lot of references to, you know, Magic City, because, well, Atlanta. You know how it is.
Yeah, pretty good stuff here. Good blend of jazz beats and dope bars. And, yeah, it has been a weird decade for Killer Mike for various reasons. Should we not expect RTJ 5 anytime soon?
I was thinking about that the other day, like, oh, that's probably not happening.
Prove us wrong, guys.
That you know what? There's probably a bet to be made there. What's going to happen first? RTJ 5 or a new Death Grips record?
Maybe the Stack the Rocha solo album will finally release first.
It's been 10 years. We have done 400 episodes of this podcast since then. Jesus. Anyway.
Yes, even music can be considered vaporware.
And house. But let's move on to the next track here, which is another single from The Acacia Strain, their newest album dropping October 24th, titled You Are Safe From God Here. And this one's called Holy Moonlight. It's a pretty short and sweet rager. Like, it rips for the jugular right out of the gate. Tons of fast tempos, blast beats, guitar sweeps, some gnarly halftime breakdowns, constant guitar buzz. Like there is not a second in this song where the guitars just isn't, like, reverberating and buzzing throughout the mix, even when it's just like sparse chugs and breakdowns and shit. It is supremely heavy. Like, it's, again, only a couple minutes, but it is just like a freight train to the face.
Oh, it'd be heavy, yo. Very heavy and aggressive and scooped. It's very scooped in the mix, and I like that.
And now we move on to this next song here. So, as we all know, Clipping, who already released their album Dead Channel Sky earlier in the year, are putting out a deluxe edition September 19th called Dead Channel Sky Plus. We already got a preview of one of the new tracks in the track list, and now we have another preview here. It's a song called Forever War. Now, as you can imagine with the title like that, the beat is particularly suspenseful and unnerving. It has this very sparse, minimal, repetitious, like, drum that just kind of, like, beats at the same point throughout, but just kind of leaves things very sparse, save for a bit of a four-on-the-floor thing towards the back half. And a lot of, like, the synth and stuff kind of alternate between a lot of, like, these glitched-out atonal beeps and dial-up sounds, and even, like, these odd sort of MIDI string melodies, kind of like harps and stuff, creating this very unnerving feeling of dread. Which is kind of fitting because, as you can guess by the title, it's a song about war, and more specifically in the context of this technology cyberpunk conceit, mainly about the ways that technology has greatly changed the nature of war. You know, it used to be that you had to shoot people in the face, like, directly face-to-face, but now you could just be some asshole sitting behind a computer and just punching in commands and a drone takes care of all the work for you, thus leading to way more dead soldiers and a far greater deal of dehumanization in military conflict. I feel like Clipping is trying to tell us something.
Perhaps. Perhaps they are, in fact, trying to tell us something, but gosh, I just can't put my finger on it.
Wonder if it has anything to do with lines like, "Gone fuck up the world without leaving the room, because if you ain't dead yet, you're gonna be there soon. Been fighting the good fight for so long that it don't even feel like fight no more. Every night go to sleep still fighting this war, the morning is more war for breakfast, of course. It never leaves you. War never changes. Something, something, Hideo Kojima."
Yeah. Now, I continue to enjoy Clipping in small doses, as per usual. Not sure I'm going to commit to, you know, a deluxe edition of a very long album, because I only have so much space left over in my brain for new music, so I'll just take the small doses. This was a good small dose.
Fair enough. And now we move on to the last track here, which is quite a noteworthy announcement. So, y'all remember a few years back when Steve Lacy of the internet fame dropped his second studio album, Gemini Writes, got a lot of attention, mainly due to the advent of TikTok, you know, taking the song Bad Habit and making it his first number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100, aka one of the rare times in which TikTok virality chose a good song. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good song and all that. But, you know, 3 years out, it seems like it's about time for Steve Lacy to officially release a follow-up. It is titled Oh Yeah, and we have the lead-off single here called Nice Shoes. We don't have a date for it yet. We just have a title and a song. And right away, the production certainly sets an interesting tone here. It kind of has like this, again, sort of like the, what was I going to say? Sort of like that Fleshwater track, except far more melodious. You kind of get like this slowed down kind of breakbeat sort of thing with a lot of this like rumbling bass and these very odd sort of whistling synth melodies in there. And it's, of course, a song about, you know, love and romance, in particular being desperate to hook up with a woman to the point where it starts negatively affecting your mental health. Or maybe a guy, who knows? I mean, after all, the opening lyric of the song is, "If I had a dollar for the friends I would fuck, I could buy a pair of really nice shoes." Which has to be a very high number, I would imagine. Steve Lacy must have a lot of attractive friends. But yeah, it is just kind of like a lot of that, again, you're so desperate for this one particular woman that it drives you nuts. Bolstered by the chorus very repetitiously stating the sentiment, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. Because, you know, at a certain point, I got other stuff to do. Like, yeah, I mean, I can be horny and all, but I also have to train for my blacksmithing apprenticeship. I mean, I should probably get back to the point. I'm riffing. Point is, interesting lead-off single. I do like it overall. I'm curious what the big picture of the album is, especially since it only is the back half of the song where it gets to the kind of more indie rock sound you probably expect from Steve Lacy.
Yeah. Good beat. Good back on the bass line. I like the ending section, even if there's a weird, bit-crushed Kool-Aid Man face just staring at me menacingly.
SpongeBob references.
Yes. SpongeBob references indeed. Just like when I flicked the switch of the Orb of Confusion.
Alex, Alex!
Whoa.
What did we tell you about turning on the Orb of Confusion? It causes confusion!
Clearly. And clearly, many people have endured that voluntarily, of their own fruition.
Yeah. You know what's really confusing, though? Drake.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's just a bitch.
Oh, that too. But, yes, as you could tell from the earlier foreshadowing, now that we're done with the new Sun discussion, we can move into just our one news topic for the week, which is the latest developments in, Drake's sad, sad attempt at, I'm not mad, please don't put in the paper that I got mad. The thing is, I hate that I can't call this the LOL suit, because that term is already taken.
Now, this is not a LOL suit, this is just a sad suit.
Very sad. But, yeah, so, where are we in the ongoing attempts at Drake to launder fucking legal actions against Universal Music Group because he can't handle the fact that he fucking lost a beef? Well, he's making more of a bid against the court to unearth basically any information they can, although in particular, for specific reference, we're drawing from an article on the Hollywood Reporter, he's asking the courts to force Universal Music Group, more specifically Chief Executive Lucian Grange, to not just turn over the contract that Universal has with Kendrick, but they also want any information related to allegations of domestic violence. Now, you might remember how, Family Matters closed out with the line, you hired a crisis management team to cover the fact that you beat on your queen, which is a line that almost didn't matter considering we all know what happened 20 minutes later. Absolutely iconic Friday night. I miss that.
That really was the greatest week in the history of this show.
Truly. But, yeah, so that's basically where we're at. Like, you know, obviously, you know, this is just, like, getting so ridiculous. Like the amount of back and forth that has been going on between Drake and UMG, like, trying to claim, you know, sabotage, even though, like, both of them are managed by the same fucking label, and, you know, whatever the fuck happened last time. Jesus, I'm just looking through this piece just to, like, see where we got caught up. Like, apparently before this, Universal gave Drake's lawyers the contract with Lamar, but, fucking Drake got pissy with all the redactions to the point where it was rendered, quote, virtually unreadable and incomprehensible, according to his legal team. And, yeah, they're digging... Go ahead.
I was gonna say, this is really stupid and sad. And yet I fear it's not going to be the end of it.
Yeah. Additionally, into all that stuff, like the contract, alleged domestic abuse stuff, there's also apparently he's trying to get, like, any information out of Universal relating to how much Interscope Records had made, like their fucking, like, revenue and profit statements from fucking Kendrick's recording catalog for the past 5.5 years. Drake says, quote, it's relevant to his theory that the label was motivated by increasing profits derived from the defamatory statements in Not Like Us. Again, this is just... What point do you think you're proving here, dude?
Clearly, the point is he wants to prove that Universal essentially threw him under the bus for profits, while at the same time not completely disavowing his entire contract with him because, you know, everybody makes money up top. Like, I want to understand the game plan here and the galaxy brain nonsense that is trying to go after the main owners of your record company for quote unquote I lost my train of thought for basically trying to, again, throw you under the bus. To defame you. God, fucking brain doesn't want to work today. While also keeping you, you know, still under contract. Because they could have essentially terminated his deal at any time. Yeah. There's obviously value in whatever he calls music that Universal enjoys. So what's the game plan here? What's the end goal? You know, aside from the fact that when this is all over, Universal is absolutely going to throw his ass out because, good God, this is stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still buying into the conspiracy that he's trying to annoy Universal so badly they let him out of whatever contract he's in. Especially after the last time we had to talk about Drake, where we made fun of him for his bad gambling deals.
Ugh.
But, like,
this is all very sad and very stupid, and I hope and I pray that this ends how we all expect it to end.
Yeah, like, dude, just do anything else. Like, make another 5 shitty albums, fucking play Geometry Wars, I don't know, develop a Jenga addiction, anything else.
Yeah, just, it's time. It's time to stop. Especially since Universal and specifically Republic are going to have a huge windfall coming their way in the next couple of months. Unfortunately for all of us.
Dare I ask?
There's a new album coming out sometime soon. Yeah, from, I don't even need to say the name.
I hate it here. I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
We have roughly 6 weeks until what's probably going to be the mother of all album bombs. Brace yourselves, people.
I already got the shelter ready. But, yeah, that's the latest in his very sad existence. And now that that wraps up the news and all, we just have one more thing to take care of here, and that is the new album releases for the week of August 22nd, 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from the emo band The World is a Beautiful Place and I Am No Longer Afraid to Die with Dreams of Being Dust. First new album in a while, if I'm remembering correctly. Then from the Bron Daler project Arcadia, we have The Exodus of Gravity. From We Came as Romans, who are still around for some reason. Their new album, All Is Beautiful, Because We're Doomed. From Ghostface Killah, we of course have his new album, Supreme Clientele 2. From rapper Big X The Plug, his newest album, I Hope You're Happy. Well, I was, until you informed me that this album was going to have Jelly Roll on it.
Go away!
Too much Jelly Roll. Then, of course, we have the newest album from Caitlin Aurelia Smith with Gush. From Mac DeMarco, we have his new album, Guitar. From John Batiste, a new project called Big Money. From singer Tiana Taylor with the album Escape Room. Apparently, there's a new record from Kid Cudi called Free. Of course, there's the newest Deftones album, Private Music. And that would be where it ends, but apparently we are receiving a word literally today that there will be a new Earl Sweatshirt album dropping on Friday titled Live, Laugh, Love. I'm pretty sure that name is being used ironically, but we'll see. But yeah, that about does it for all that. So just about time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, as always. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, which is a lot longer than this show. This is only 30 minutes. My shows are 3 hours long, because we have no self-control. And, yeah, just the usual places, which I still have to finish that 3-hour show, because we never know how to shut up. It's a bad habit.
Like that Steve Lacy song. I think I'm funny sometimes. But as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@sororesolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website on Blue Sky at sororesolution. Visit the website itself, sororesolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, the aforementioned podcast, O&A, all of that good stuff. Of course, you'll find the link to our Discord server there as well, so you can always be reliably notified whenever new stuff goes up there, and just chat with people about all sorts of things. That'll, of course, do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And until then, you know, my only response to the Megadeth farewell news is, why now? Why not 20 years ago? Simpsons quote for any occasion.